this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's easy to get triggered and to go down a tangent. That's sort of the Trump strategy. The shock opera, the constant shock, knowing that the base will be there. They'll accept anything. So what you can do now is mangle the truth, warn people about how you're going to lead, which he's doing, and trigger the media. Go after Joe Biden, trigger the Democrats. Threaten what you're going to do. Threaten democracy. And I think that, you know, the parallels to Jesus, the parallels to himself being Jesus are just the next level. And something that is not to be triggered by is to expect in a cult leader.
On Trans Day of Visibility, my message is simple. I see you and I've got your back. There's nothing more American than living your life the way you want to live it. And that's what today's all about. It's about embracing who you are and being proud of it. Right now, there are efforts underway in other states to criminalize the trans community just for living their lives. These hateful laws and bills lead to real harm, ranging from bullying and harassment to outright violence. As governor, I'm focused on making Michigan a more welcoming state where anyone and everyone can build a great life no matter who they are. And that's why we have taken action to expand civil rights protections for the LGBTQ plus community. We will continue fighting for visibility and equality because that's what we believe. And you should have the freedom to be who you are and be loved for it. No matter what, I got your back.
Republicans are seizing upon trans issues as like their go-to wedge issue this time around. We've covered it. Joe talks a lot about it. About the issue of just how small it really is in sports and high school and college sports. But, you know, but Republicans think it's this huge, huge deal. We saw them lean in heavily all weekend on this very online right-wing Trumpist presence, thinking this is going to be an issue that really resonates with voters. I mean, you have your finger on the pulse as to what people care about or not. Do people care about this? And if this is what Republicans have, is this the best they have? That's not going to be enough.
Here's why I think the Republicans so heinously seize on the trans issue. It's not, obviously the numbers are not there. The amount of trans athletes competing as men with women is 0.0001%. But it's an issue that if you're an American, and this is sad, and things don't make sense to you anymore as far as what's going on, that the country is becoming white, you're a minority, and globalization and everything that's happening. This is an issue that, oh wait, boys can be girls can be boys, that is this simplistic, I know the world doesn't make sense to you anymore. Get it? See what's happening? Boys aren't even boys anymore. Girls aren't even girls anymore. And it's this like dumbed down version of we'll make sense of the world for you if it doesn't make sense to you anymore. And it's this like sliver issue. And it's the irony is it's an issue of inclusion. It's an issue of what America is all about. But they'll turn it upside down and say, you see, it doesn't make sense. The world is not yours anymore. The world is coming to hell and it doesn't make sense. And come with me, I'll make it make sense again. That's the dumbed down simplistic issue of why they go after the trans issue. And it's tragic and it's disgusting.
Today on Trans Day of Visibility, we celebrate the trans individuals in our communities and recognize their struggles for recognition and increasingly survival in the face of unfathomable hate which leads them to often feel unsafe or like they don't belong.
And we also celebrate the many contributions that they've made. We've had trans leaders at the forefront of progress in every field imaginable, from STEM to the arts to human rights advocacy to so much more.
All across the country, we're seeing a rise in legal, political, and physical attacks on those in the trans community.
And it's just appalling and unconscionable, this discrimination, and it's gone on for far too long.
Look, at the end of the day, everyone wants and deserves to be respected, connected, and protected. Our trans community deserves no less. So Jen and I wanted to add our voices and our support to the millions of people celebrating today.
For those of you in the trans community, whether you are out or not, we value you and we appreciate you.
You know, Charlie Sykes, yesterday, celebrating Easter, we went to church, we heard from a pastor who made this point. I mean, there's so many good points in his sermon, but it's that Easter was a day for renewal, to think about your relationship with God, to think about your relationship with Jesus, because he loves you unconditionally. Because it's a relationship that you have with your God, with God, and not religion. It's not a relationship with religion. It's not a relationship with politics. It's not a relationship with a person. It's a relationship with God. And today is your day to, maybe it hasn't been so good, but here's your day to come back. It was very beautiful. And then, you know, reading in for the show this morning, it was very jarring to see a candidate, the front runner for the Republican nominee, there's a word I want to use, but just tear all over that, that concept and make it about himself.
I will say on the rapid response front, you know, I did notice they quickly moved to go after this fake attack around, branding Easter Transgender Visibility Day. They were very quick up with it. I think they understand what Katie was talking about, which is that these stories, these myths, this disinformation can travel in these sort of closed off ecosystems pretty fast, and it's hard to reach these people who do not consume news from traditional means. They'll get it from True Social, from other avenues where you won't get a correction. So you do have to move fast. And let me just say, I don't celebrate Easter, obviously. I thought the whole thing was bizarre, though, because, you know, what was the actual problem here of having Transgender Visibility Day that happened to coincide on Easter? Why is that problematic at all? Isn't it supposed to be a holiday of acceptance? And I thought that was the fundamentally weird part about this whole faux controversy, which is that what are you actually mad about? Why does it make a difference that the days fall on the same day this year?
Okay, it's Easter Monday, 1 April, year of our Lord, 2024. The firestorm from over the weekend continues and actually gets hotter as we've gone through the day. We've asked the great Brandon Showalter, who really has dedicated his life to this entire issue, to join us. So, Brandon, I'll start. Is this a faux issue? You've seen they had the Trans Visibility Day to get in the face of and to mock Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. But now the blowback's been so bad, they're dancing around it, except for Governor slash President Newsom and First Lady Newsom up in your grill, Whitmer up in your grill, Hochul up in your grill. Put in perspective, what's going on here, sir?
Well, it's true that this Trans Visibility Day has been on the calendar since 2009. This is a day that's concocted by, you mentioned Whitmer. It was a Michigan trans activist that first developed this day. But for those who are sort of pushing back against those who think that this isn't a big deal, the public is increasingly waking up that we are currently living through one of the worst medical scandals of all time. The public now knows that girls as young as 13 years old are having their breasts amputated, that children are being sterilized in gender clinics, that teenage boys are having their genitals amputated. They can make it out to be a small issue, but the public, especially in light of all of these bills that have been passed at the state level, they realize that children are being victims of a horrendous, horrendous medical scandal. And so for them to poo-poo this and for them to just say that this isn't a big deal or that people are just making too big of a deal about this, this goes to show the lengths to which our elite media will go to defend the colonization of all of our culture, including the calendar, with these silly days. And I thought it was particularly gross to try and use God. Yeah, it happened to coincide on Easter Sunday, but the cabinet officials and the Biden administration and Biden himself all went gung-ho yesterday on social media. Yes, it's maybe it coincided on the same day as Easter Sunday, but they were deliberate in their messaging. Biden even used Genesis 1:27, which is the verse at the beginning of scripture that speaks about being made male and female in the image of God. Well, there is no greater desecration, Steve, of the image of God on every person than transgender ideology. If you really believe that, quote unquote, trans people are made in God's image, then why on earth would you cut their genitals off? Or would you cut their breasts off? Or would you give them drugs that render them sterile? There cannot be a more blasphemous creed. And it is, as our executive editor at the Christian Post, Dr. Richard Lands, liked to say, the epitome of self-idolatry, the ultimate attempt to become one's own God. But as you see, this is celebrated throughout our elite media, and they're poo-pooing those who dare to be offended that this was heralded with such fanfare at the tops of our society, including in the government.
I want to go through, because you've studied this more than anybody, because what they're throwing out is that, oh, it's all these hate mongers. This is all hate. These bills are all hate bills. This is all hate speech. Aren't they gaslighting us? Isn't it the exact opposite? Aren't what you're fighting for and all the evidence shows to make sure that young people are not monopolized or brought into this bizarre ideology and cult and have things done to them physically and psychologically that you can never unwind? The thing, once you go down this path, you can't unwind it. So aren't you guys the defenders of these children and the defenders really of people that are somehow have this psychological aberration on them?
Absolutely, Steve. All of gender ideology is horse manure. Every bit of it from start to finish is a lie. And so you see the lengths to which they will go to make all of this propaganda. Governors of states, cabinet officials, the man in the White House promoting this as though this is the most wonderful thing ever. When in fact, again, this is one of the worst medical scandals of all times. WPATH files recently released show that the clinicians doing this to children knowingly are sterilizing these people and doing irreparable harm to these children. They have to continue the lies, because unless you have this apparatus of propaganda, without that, this all collapses. I do believe there is a reckoning coming, and that we need to screenshot these tweets, because it's not going to be pretty. And I would advise all of these Democratic politicians or anyone else who's defending this to start thinking of a reason for why they supported the sterilization of children and vulnerable young people. This is not going to look good. And Ross Douthat, I think, had a great quote some years back wherein he talked about the left-wingers who have hesitation about this. And he said, this got through to some people I know who don't read anything other than the New York Times. He wrote, "Your silence will soon be your regret." I think that's going to be true of a whole swath of people. And it's up to people, regardless of their politics, who have followed truthful news reporting, and you're not going to get that from the mainstream media on this issue, to hold to account those who are going to pretend that they never supported something so gruesome. Because I can tell you, Steve, family on the right and on the left are crying out to God for justice. These doctors and these clinicians have committed crimes worthy of Nuremberg-style tribunals. They've sterilized their children. They've cut the body parts off their teenagers. They've done incalculable harm to families. This is one of the worst medical scandals of all time. This is a family-fracturing scourge. And there needs to be some serious compensation, monetarily and otherwise, for detransitioners and other families who have suffered horrors I can't even begin to describe. I've done a podcast and we've recorded some of those, but I think books upon books are going to need to be written about how this chapter in history smashed the American family to 1,000 little pieces.
I want to go, and you talked about accountability and all that. I want to replay if Denver and my crack production team here can get it ready. These are the most ambitious people in a country of ambitious people. These people are as demented on their ambition as the Clintons were at the top of their game, when Bill and Hillary Clinton was all pure ambition. That is President Newsom and First Lady Newsom out in California, or I refer to it the spokesmodel Newsom and Lady Macbeth. But I want to replay their clip and have Brandon Showalter comment. Let's go ahead and play it.
Today on Trans Day of Visibility, we celebrate the trans individuals in our communities and recognize their struggles for recognition and increasingly survival in the face of unfathomable hate, which leads them to often feel unsafe or like they don't belong.
And we also celebrate the many contributions that they've made. We've had trans leaders at the forefront of progress in every field imaginable, from STEM to the arts to human rights advocacy to so much more.
All across the country, we're seeing a rise in legal, political, and physical attacks on those in the trans community.
And it's just appalling and unconscionable, this discrimination, and it's gone on for far too long.
Look, at the end of the day, everyone wants and deserves to be respected, connected, and protected. Our trans community deserves no less. So Jen and I wanted to add our voices and our support to the millions of people celebrating today.
For those of you in the trans community, whether you are out or not, we value you and we appreciate you.
Okay, Brandon Showalter, are you an apostle of hate? Because that spot right there is aimed at you, the War Room, and the War Room posse, sir.
If that's what he thinks of me, I will wear that as a badge of honor. I could not care less what Newsom or his wife say about me or anyone else who resists this. This is entirely predicated on a false anthropology. This is based on a lie about the human person, as though we can be something other than our sex. It's dressed up with all these nice euphemisms and polite sounding phrases, but what Governor Newsom and his wife are doing are defending one of the worst medical scandals of all time. He will live to regret those words, mark my words. This is going to be seen for what it is. History will not be kind to those who supported the cutting off of physically healthy body parts, the sterilization of children, the placing of men, rapists, in female prisons, which Governor Newsom did via Senate Bill 132 that he signed in 2020. The human rights atrocities that he has enabled and set in motion are beyond words horrific. So this chapter in history, when history is written, is not going to be pretty for Gavin Newsom.
I want to be very specific about this, because as we've become now a platform for the voices of reason of you and Dr. Miriam Grossman and many, many others that have come on the show and made this case throughout the country, California, it's because of Newsom and Lady Macbeth that they are now the railhead of this problem. Is that correct, sir? And if we break it in California, as many citizens are there to break the fever, we can actually start to turn this thing around. Walk us through that.
It's true that he, as a governor, he's done probably more than others anywhere else in the country to implement trans ideology into the law. And in California, this dogma is enshrined in so many of its institutions. The main legislator driving this is Scott Wiener. He represents San Francisco. He's sponsored so many of these bills to remove parental rights from parents who object to gender ideology and the medicalization of their children. I mentioned Senate Bill 132, which placed males in female prisons more easily. There's no end to the horrific legislation that has been passed there. But yes, parents are fighting back. ProtectKidsCA.com is an initiative to place an initiative on the ballot this fall. And if they acquire enough signatures by, I think, the middle of this month, that will be able to be put on the ballot. And if you actually poll Californians, they're not in support, even in left-wing California. Normal people, whether they lean left or right, especially on the right, but even left-wingers, the polling from Spry Strategies indicates they don't support males and female sports. They don't support giving children puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and performing unnecessary surgeries on their bodies. They're not in support of this ideology. And if it gets on the ballot and they vote it down, that will be, I think, a David and Goliath kind of situation, where it will be like the rock that hits the Goliath in the forehead. It will be a body blow, because I believe that California, in many ways, is the epicenter of transgender ideology and activism in America. So for it to go down in a blue state will be huge. But it will be a Herculean effort. That's, the forces are deeply entrenched. It's in the family court system. It's in the legal structures. It's everywhere you turn. It's coming out of Hollywood and Silicon Valley. It's a tough fight. But normal people on the street, if you ask them, do not support these human rights atrocities. But key to, you know, understanding that is cutting through all of the propaganda and the garbage in the purportedly mainstream press, which you just played such a panoply of. People who are the gaslighting, as you say, it is a feature, not a bug, of trans ideology. And one of the worst purveyors of it is the mass media. There's no question about that.
Brandon, where can people go to get you at the Christian Post, social media, keep up with all your writings? Because you're one of the standard bearers in really trying to save these children and others, even adults that are caught up in this wicked ideology.
All of our reporting, my colleagues and I do great reporting, if I do say so myself, at christianpost.com. You may follow me at Brandon M. Show on X. I would also point to our documentary-style podcast at generationindoctrination.com, and that's also available on all platforms. And if you want to see what this does to families, again, I would just recommend Dead Name. It's a documentary film that profiles three families that have been shattered by this, and that can be seen at deadnamedocumentary.com.
It's unbelievable. Real quickly, too, I don't know if you give where do people go to get your podcast again?
Generationindoctrination.com.
Brandon, thank you. Amazing work. And thank you for carving out time on Easter Monday to join us.
Thank you, Steve.
I knew this would get to be to the top of the remember, this is emblematic of their hatred of our culture and civilization. In fact, I've got Ben Harnwell joins us from Rome. Ben, I got a lot to go through on various things about Ukraine and others. It starts to heat up. But I just want to ask you this generally, this attack. It's an all-out attack on the Judeo-Christian West. Of course, on our side of the football, even in the Catholic Church, Tucker had the great interview with Cardinal Mueller. And talking to Tucker, he's not a Catholic. He doesn't understand all the issues, but thought it was important to bring up for some reason it is an attack. All of this is an attack on the Judeo-Christian West. Your thoughts about what you saw over the Easter weekend, now that the culture wars have really come to become white hot, at least here in the United States, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Well, I thought it was particularly interesting, Brandon's analysis that we just heard. The thing that caught my attention was the MSNBC commentator saying that Easter was a holiday of acceptance. Now, talking about Easter, of course, which is, you know, of all the religious festivals in the Christian calendar, it's difficult to think of something that is more specifically tied to a specific focal point, that is to say, the resurrection Sunday, Easter Day, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To just push that aside and call Easter Day basically a day or a holiday of acceptance, that is, you know, I think the word gaslighting was used by both of you in the previous segment. I can't think of any other word to describe that kind of thing, that in-your-face misrepresentation, other than gaslighting, because that's exactly what it is. Just to expand briefly on the point that Brandon was making, the thing about the trans ideology, especially on kids, but more generally, that isn't given enough airtime where the conversation where the topic is held. It's the suicide level of people, of victims, of trans ideology victims post-operation. Some of them try, and it's painful to witness, to transition, to use the term, to transition back to their gender of birth. And with each shift, it's more and more monstrous. But a lot of people are committing suicide. And I don't think that's because of the operation itself. It's because what was unsatisfying in that person's life that led them to think that they had this made-up condition called gender dysphoria, that underlying cause has never been tackled. Sometimes I think it's on the sliding scale of mental illness. But because the real underlying issues are being ignored by the medical community and everyone around a person that ought to be giving them care and support, pushing them through this awful medical practice is just going to make those underlying conditions worse. And then, of course, people kill themselves. So I don't really see that they have the higher moral ground, Steve, when it comes to moral care for people, when what they are really doing is giving false charity and false witness that isn't aimed at the deepest good of the person, but to their actual injury.
I want you to hold, if you can, and we're going to continue on. We're going to get into into the Ukraine part of it, and we're going to connect Ukraine with politics here because, folks, I can tell you over the next couple of days, and if they happen to have a town hall on the spending and, you know, you've got to be up in people's faces, this Ukraine thing is going to be actually at the top of the list. So Ben's going to stick around. We're going to get into Ukraine and what's actually happening there, and then this new situation that's developing here where they're going to part of this bill that Johnson's going to put forward is a to say, because they can't get the votes for $60 billion, what they want to do is authorization to allow U.S. banks and then European banks to basically seize the assets. We've already frozen the assets. So we've frozen, I think, it's kind of hard to get a direct count. It's somewhere between $300 and $500 billion, all in government and U.S. government securities. And people do this to make sure they can grease the skids for trade. This is how every place in the world, this is what the prime reserve currency, when you're a prime reserve currency, this is what you are. We've frozen those assets like we froze the mullahs in Persia and others at times when we've felt we've had to at the beginning of the Ukraine war. Now there's an effort underway to actually seize those assets, convert them from treasuries into dollars or from euros into dollars, and or from foreign government bills, but I think most of these are in treasuries, convert them into dollars and then give it to the Ukrainian oligarchs. Actually steal the Russian people's money and give it to the Ukrainian oligarchs. We're going to talk all about that and what's happening in Ukraine. We'll take a short commercial break. Also, Jace Medical, things are heating up. We're going to have Dr. Thayer on tomorrow to go through some issues with the CCP. Do not get caught up whether it's a cyber attack on United Health and the pharmacies go down or because of what's happening in the South China Sea and Taiwan, where the CCP locks us off from the supply chains of active pharmaceutical ingredients. Go to JaceMedical.com. They built an entire company around the philosophy of making sure you can get your medicines without having to worry about that. JaceMedical.com. Go now, immerse yourself in information.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy.
Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. For the free month of service, put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
And the Democrats know that when we don't all stand together with our razor-thin majority, then they have a better negotiation position. And that's why we got some of the things we didn't like. Now, we fought like warrior poets to keep some of those Senate appropriations or some of those Senate earmarks out of the bill. And we were successful in getting a lot of the terrible stuff out. But a few of them made it through, and that's what Marge is upset about, and I am too. But I want to talk with her about reforming the budgeting and spending process going forward. That's what Republicans are for. That's the transformational kind of changes that we can forge if we all stand together.
All the days from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Okay, Mike Johnson calls that fight, because remember then the movie Braveheart with Wallace, the sword goes, and they talk about the victory after he died and was executed, the victory over the British, over the English, I should say, over the English, and they fought like warrior poets. And Johnson's actually making the analogy that the complete cave. Look, this thing on the earmarks, and I fought the earmarks for years and years and years, and we got the earmarks out about a decade ago. The earmarks are the entry-level drug. I got that. But they're essentially irrelevant. That's a misdirection play. Try to get your focus on the earmarks when they have a $2 trillion deficit. This is a classic Fox News misdirection play to look at a shiny toy. The earmarks are bad, but they're $1 million here, a couple $1 million. They're bad, that all again, but that's not to the heart of it. He didn't get anything, and he's a gutless coward, okay? To say he's like Braveheart, it's a sick clown joke. And with Trey Gowdy, another buffoon, remember Benghazi. Clinton should be totally accountable, but guy got off scot-free because of that bozo. And we've never asked the question, why did he leave the House so quickly and not go to a federal judgeship or not go to a white shoe law firm? Curious minds want to know. Why did he leave so quickly? Curiouser and curiouser. Ben Harnwell, Zelensky, it's all coming back, and Zelensky's making the case that if when Johnson gets back, if there's not the $60 billion and stealing the Russian people's money, then the war is going to be over, and it's MAGA's fault. It's the war room's fault. It's Ben Harnwell's fault. It's Steve Bannon's fault. It's the war room posse fault. It's Donald Trump's fault. It's all of our faults. Not counting in, they didn't get one volunteer in the 500,000 troops they need because the parents over there said, you're not going to take my son. You're not going to take my daughter. It's not going to happen. And it has nothing to do with the Europeans. If it's about a couple of, you know, $50, $40 billion, go to Norway, go to London, go to Belgravia, go to Tuscany, go to Provence, go to Cannes, go to the south of France, right? Go to Monaco, go to Davos. There's plenty of money in Europe. You're not talking about it. It's $40, $50 billion. The reason we're not doing it, we have a $2 trillion. We have 34, getting to be $35 trillion debt. We have a $1 trillion defense bill. We're not doing this anymore. We're not going to put any more money to the Iraqs or the Afghanistans or the Vietnams. We're wise now. And Ukraine's just another money laundering operation for these corrupt oligarchs and for the defense industry. Ben Harnwell, where do we actually stand with everything that's been going on over in our beloved Ukraine with our beloved oligarchs? And of course, as certain members of conservative media say, the Winston Churchill of our time, Zelensky.
Steve, I've got a couple of things to tie together here on the Ukraine developments. But first, I really have to come back to Mike William Wallace Johnson. I think I've got an updated mantra for him, right? I've got an updated mantra for him. You can take our majority, but you'll never take our uni party. That's his rallying cry that he can go off and surrender with. Right, so as far as, look, I've got something here for you, right? This is a statement that the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Volodymyr Zelensky, made just a few days ago. He said this, Speaker Zelensky of the U.S. Congress. It is very important for Congress to maintain its leadership so that the defense of freedom remains an idea that unites within our countries and in a majority in the world. Now, Speaker Zelensky went on to say, quick passage of U.S. aid to Ukraine by Congress is vital. We recognize that there are differing views in the House of Representatives on how to proceed, but the key is to keep the issue of aid to Ukraine as the unifying factor. So Johnson, who seems to think, I think erroneously, that he's actually Speaker of the House, is offering no leadership, and Speaker Zelensky is absolutely clear what he expects the House of Representatives to do. And I think Mike Johnson needs to get in line very quickly and obey his commands. Now, with regards to Zelensky and Ukraine, Zelensky has been busy, and that wasn't his only intervention in U.S. politics. He's given an interview to our favorite newspaper, the Langley Bugle, and saying if there is no U.S. support... He has been
hold
a busy
it,
boy.
Hold it. Hang on. The Langley Bugle being Langley, the headquarters of CIA in the deep state. It's the Washington Post. But he gave an exclusive interview over there, and it was so outrageous. Walk me through it, sir.
If there is no – well, this is a teeing up, as you'd mentioned. So he's basically saying that if Ukraine falls, and this is all the Americans' fault. So you need to, it's MAGA's fault, Trump's fault, the war room's fault. If there's no US support, it means that we have no air defense, no Patriot missiles, no jammers for electronic warfare, no 155mm artillery rounds. It means we will go back, retreat step by step, in small steps. We are trying to find some way not to retreat. And he's just going on with the same sort of gibberish, laying the blame squarely at the feet of the American taxpayer. Personally, I don't think the American taxpayer is prepared to accept this. And here's why. Here's why, because what are the other noises coming out of Ukraine? Well, General Zelensky, the new head of the general staff, came out and said, you know, because we've been drilling down on this supposed 500,000 draft that Ukraine had been promising for the last 6 months, scratching our heads, where are they actually going to get these people from? Because they've all fled across continental Europe. And then you had these member states of the European Union saying, oh, we'll help send them back. U-turn, Steve, U-turn. He's now come out and said that the figure has actually been significantly reduced without saying what the new number is. So that obviously raises the question, Steve, who here has blinked? Is it the army or is it Zelensky? And for what reason? Which is pretty important, I think. The Murdoch press, Steve, has started to prepare the world for the inevitable, and it ran a headline.
Hold on, slow down, because Murdoch press and the Fox News cabal are going to work together to prep the battlefield for what's really going to happen. But I want to go back for a second, because in downgrading, and so for those following along at home, remember, 500,000 was the troops that the two generals who just got canned put forward and said, hey, we not only need 500,000 troops, the average age of a combatant on the Eastern Front against the Russians is 42 years old, okay? And if you've seen the conditions, they're like World War One. It's not an area, particularly where most 42-year-olds Ukrainians, you see what shape they're in, can function for a long time effectively. So they said we need younger people, and that we need them, you know, in their early 20s. But there was no way that would get done, so they made it at 27. Immediately, you had a problem. Zelensky fired the entire apparatus of the recruiting system because guess what? The Ukrainian moms and dads were paying exorbitant bribes to keep their sons, principally sons, but sons and daughters, principally sons, from getting called up to active duty service. And then it actually got more brazen. This has been up for a year, almost a year, in the Ukrainian parliament, which is not really a parliament. It's kind of Zelensky's thing because they won't have elections and they suppress all the minority parties because they love democracy so much. But I understand they're in a wartime environment, so some things you got to ride a little hard, and they're riding hard. They can't even get this thing up. All they've been able to do in this legislation essentially is take the age from 25 to 27, but he can't even bring it up. And then magically, they come up because War Room and others are sitting there going, yo, why did a condition precedent, before we even have a discussion on the money, why a condition precedent should be, where are your new troops? The ones that your generals, the ones that have 80% approval and are beloved by the Ukrainian people because they haven't lied to the Ukrainian people on things like the spring offensive. Where are those? Let's see the 500,000 volunteers or the new draft law, and they're drafted. They're all there. Let's see that as a condition precedent to have a discussion of whether this is worth putting any more money in, which it's not, but do that. The reason we're prepared to say that, because we know it ain't never going to happen. Zero chance, zero probability. Then, Ben, magically, and you're seeing this reported in the press over there because they're talking about it, magically the new generals he put in came up and said, hey, we did a further review and we need a lot less troops, right? Now, that the two things don't hold together. How can the Russians be prepared to go on every front? They're talking about the Russians being able to mount an offensive finally on Kyiv itself. How could that be, and you actually find out you need less troops? The reason they're saying less troops, Ben, is that they know they can't meet what they said, 500,000, and now that we've made a big deal about it, they want to figure out how they're going to come back magically with a dramatically low number. But that is why that is up there. Do you buy that or not? Do you think there's another reason?
I think that's absolutely correct, Steve, and that's a magisterial synthesis of the situation in Ukraine. Allied to that is that Putin signed a decree, I think it was yesterday, authorizing the recruitment, the press ganging of 150,000 Russians to fight in Ukraine. So Russia's not backing down.
Hang on. Look, Putin's a bad guy. He's a KGB officer. Okay. These guys they're hard as they get, hard nuts. It's not like the Russian people. Now, they just overwhelmingly supported Putin. I would not say that's anywhere near a fair election. It's worse than the elections here, the election Biden stole. But there is, it looks like, an overwhelming support of Putin and his policies for what he's doing across the board, including fighting off the West and I think even partnering with China, I hate to say, and also what he's doing in Ukraine. Now, that being said, mothers and wives and girlfriends are not running to the recruiting station saying, take my guy. We want him to die for the motherland in the Russian speaking territories under conflict in Ukraine. So they're press ganging, too. The Ukrainians have tried to press gang. You've seen the videos where it's worse than Nelson's Navy back in the 18th century. Right. They're press ganging, too. But they can't press gang anymore. They've made a fine art, have they not, brother, of avoiding this. And in fact, all the European nations like Ireland and others are chock full of fighting age males that are in their countries and not back on the eastern border of Ukraine. Why? They don't believe in this. They don't believe enough in this war to figure that, hey, it's worth their ass to be on the line to defend their country. They're making a rational decision. Not a very patriotic decision, but a rational decision. And that's the conundrum Zelensky finds himself in. Essentially, he can't get away from the war room and others, the Posos, Charlie Kirk's, others are sitting there going, stop the BS, right? Everything you just listed, Zelensky listed in the Langley Bugle, it's quite interesting. That would make a defense contractor's heart go fonder, didn't he? He named every expensive weapon system we can ship him. It's like the menu to make sure the lobbyists know. Get him in a headlock. Put the sleeper on him. Ben Harnwell.
It's not a coincidence, Steve, that at the very time Ukraine is trying to scale down its commitment to the war in terms of recruitment, it's conversely escalating its push on the American government and on the American media to supply it more cash. By the way, I have to say, I think it's massively inappropriate. The moves he's putting on Mike William Wallace Johnson, massively, massively inappropriate, I think. If that is not a foreign country trying to influence the domestic political agenda of the United States, I don't know what it is. You know, 5 years ago when Trump was president, it was just Russia, Russia, Russia. And of course, everyone was terrified there. The mainstream media had everyone terrified that they had this foreign country trying to influence the U.S. the domestic political agenda. Now another country is explicitly doing this in your face. And it's not a word, not a peep. Look, there's a lot going on to do with Ukraine, and its impact is being felt not only in the United States, but also in Europe. In the remaining time, Steve, can I just quickly pivot to two things that are taking place over here? I do want to quickly mention this headline, though, in the Murdoch Press. It's time we talked about the fall of Kyiv. That's the first time I've seen something so explicitly mentioned.
Hang on. That's a shocking. That's a shocking headline. That's a send a message that, hey, we got to get serious here. Walk me through it. That's pretty powerful.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. If you read the article, it's priming. Send the West needs to send more arms to Ukraine. Otherwise, Kyiv will fall. But I don't know about you, Steve. I mean, I've been ready for some time to talk about this, but the Murdoch Press is finally swinging around to this. The British Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is basically the UK's finance minister, or perhaps you'd call him Treasury Secretary in US terms, had an interview last week with The Guardian. And he said, I'm just going to mention this, but it's a very illustrative of the absolute chaos and damage this war has been affecting right across continental Europe. Or not so much the war itself, it's our sociopathic overall response to the war. The war itself would never have really touched the daily lives of anyone in continental Europe had everyone in the West our leaders decided to throw everything, the kitchen sink included, in trying to defeat Putin. And by the way, to come back to the point you were mentioning earlier about the raiding of the commandeering, without, as far as I can tell, any due process whatsoever of these Russians' assets, their treasury bonds, to liquefy them and send the money back to Ukraine. Who knows where that money is actually going to go? But that is another illustration of just the limit, the lack of limits that our sociopathic overlords will go to in order to try to stop Putin, because they are so invested. You've been saying this since the war started, Steve. But everything that they're doing is making the United States a country that in the future nobody with two brain cells in their head would ever want to invest in again. If it's another example of how they are moving to undermine confidence that, that the United States is a country governed by the rule of law. As I say, zero due process in the confiscation of these treasuries.
I tell you what, let's continue. I want to continue this tomorrow because it's too good to rush there. I want to continue this in the fall of Kiev and all of it. We'll continue it either in the morning show or we'll get you on the evening show. But you've been doing incredible work. This is going to be front burner politically here in the United States. Johnson has made the commitment. They said it now multiple times. It's the first thing that with everything else going on, including the southern border. It's the first thing they're going to address when they get back. Now, they're going to put some lipstick. There's going to be a few optics on the southern border to try to make this palatable. But you're about to see the lawlessness, the lack. First of all, you're about to see the lack of interest in saving your country, real interest by the Uniparty and by the donor class. You're also going to see exactly what they're purveyors of anarchy and chaos because they're prepared to destroy the dollar as a unit by stealing the Russian people's, essentially their money, their assets. We'll get into all that. Ben, until then, your Getter has been on fire. Where do people go?
Thank you so much, Steve. Getter, my social media platform of choice. Tab in my surname, Harnra, at Harnra. And really, I know I say this all the time, but I have some fantastic posts at the top of my feed right now. And I very strongly recommend you give a few seconds just to read them through. Thanks, Steve. Thanks so much.
And I think I've reposted every one, and I look at all of them with a jaundiced eye before I repost. Ben Harnwell from Rome. Thank you, brother. The heroic Ben Harnwell. Jim Rickards now is a contributor here. He writes Strategic Intelligence. Jim, we had brought it up and talked about it for months. Jim really went to the heart of it last week on his commentary when he came on. We're trying to get Jim on again this week because this is going to be huge. It's called Repo. It's about essentially stealing our true allies, one of our allies, the Russian people. I didn't say Putin and his government and the KGB. No. The Russian people who bled out on the battlefield and bled the Wehrmacht out so the United States didn't have millions of casualties in Western Europe, either at D-Day or going across Western Europe or, quite frankly, in the skies over Germany. So those have been our real allies, not the party of Davos. Trust me. They don't give a damn about the American people. Go to Rickards War Room, that's all one word, Rickards with an S, warroom.com. If you want to find out more about Strategic Intelligence, I think he gives you the first month free, but he does all the geopolitics, all of that. Lou Dobbs follows us. Want to make sure you also get access. Sacred Human Health, the grass-fed beef livers. The reviews on this are off the charts. People love it. It's like an energy boost to them, but so much more. The greatest concentration of nutrients known to man or the animal kingdom, grass-fed beef liver. SacredHumanHealth.com. Go check it out. Immerse yourself in information, then you make the decision. And of course, always my favorite, Warpath Coffee, warpath.coffee/war room. Get the dark roast. Check it out. Try it out. Lou Dobbs next. We're back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning when you're in the war room.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.